would love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and further establish you in the truth of God's Word.
This is, for me, I think this is one of the best seasons of the year. Being able to celebrate Jesus' death and His resurrection, everything that He's done for us, it's a really, really special season. And I trust that over this weekend, not only through the services, but just through your time with the Lord, you're really going to just be refreshed and blessed. Amen. That you're going to be encouraged and strengthened. And, as I was meditating on, or let me say this first, for the first couple of people who got here, we gave out these just to you as gifts. It's a MP3 CD with the last 2 years of Easter services. So it's got, there's 5 different teachings on there, and that's over the past 2 years. You can do the maths. But as I was meditating on what to share on, and just what did God want for the service, I really just felt stirred up with regards to the question of what was on the cross. Sure. And who died on the cross? Now the automatic response is Jesus, but it's a bit more complicated or a bit more detailed than that. It's not complicated, it's simple, but it's much more detailed than that. Okay, so I'm going to start off just by looking at what was nailed to the cross, because, and then we'll talk about who. But what was nailed to the cross is important because everything that Jesus did for us is really enables us to live the Christian life and live in victory. Amen? Without the death and resurrection, there would be no reason for Christianity. We'll talk about that on Sunday a bit, but if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, if He hadn't have died, He wouldn't have been able to rise from the dead, amen? And if He hadn't risen from the dead, then we would be fools. Our faith would be foolish. Anyway, I'm not going to start preaching message for Sunday, but Romans chapter 5 is just so full of so much with regards to what God has done for us in Christ and what He's freely offering us. And I just want to read, I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. It says in verse 6 to 8, could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever deprived of its power? For we were co-crucified with Him. So who was crucified on the cross? You and Jesus were there together. I know you weren't alive 2,000 years ago. Okay, but the point is that when He died, I died. And the key to living in victory is identifying with His death and resurrection. If you don't see yourself in Christ, not only now, but on the cross, and in Christ when He rose from the dead, then you won't live in victory. Then you won't enjoy the life that He's got for you. Okay, so for we were co-crucified with Him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us, so that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. Obviously, a dead person is incapable of sinning. For if we were co-crucified with the Anointed One, we know that we will also share in the fullness of His life. Talking about His resurrection. And so this is really just showing us that, when He died, we died. When He rose from the dead, we rose from the dead. You know what? The moment you say yes to Jesus, you're identifying with all of that. You're seeing yourself in all of that. And that's what brings the victory. Okay? It's not now you living for Jesus. There's a shred of truth in that. But Christianity is not about living for God. It's about Him living in us and Him living through us. There's only victory if He'll enable you to live in victory. It's not about your ability. It's not about your strength. It's not about your self-discipline. It's about His life and power in you. His life and power through you. You'll struggle to live for God. Anyone here struggle to live for God? Okay, the 4 of us are in good company. the point is that it's difficult to live for God when you're doing it in and of your own strength, but when you're doing it in and of His strength in you, it changes everything. So let's go back. Just look at what was nailed to the cross. First of all, Colossians 2 verse 14. Colossians 2 verse 14. He cancelled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us, and he erased it all, our sins, our stained soul, he deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. I like how the Passion Translation puts it. That says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Listen to this. He canceled every legal violation we had on our record. You remember your record, but God doesn't. The old arrest warrant that stood to indict us, he erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Your sins cannot be retrieved. There's no history on your browser. Everything that we were once in Adam was placed in, has been placed onto the cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. What was nailed to the cross? Everything that we were once in Adam. Adam really messed things up. And we inherited that a sinful nature. We inherited the pain and the suffering. But Jesus changed everything. And you'd think that you'd be a bit more excited about that. Jesus changed absolutely everything. Everything that we were once in Adam has been, it says they're placed onto his cross and nailed permanently. If it's nailed permanently on that cross, it means it doesn't come off. It's gone. Okay? It's completely clear when you look at the scripture with regards to what happened at the cross. And yet so many Christians are walking around thinking that they're sinners saved by grace. They're sinners saved by grace, trying harder to please God. That's not good news. Imagine you're a sinner saved by grace, now you've got to try harder to please God. Try harder to be holy. You know, coming to Jesus isn't about receiving Christ, becoming a Christian, and now you get to try harder. It's not a restart in a sense of, let me try again. Christianity isn't a let's try again, folks. It's a, hey, you could never do anything in your own ability, so just die. Just accept that you died with Christ, identifying the resurrection, and you'll be completely transformed. You'll be a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if any man be in Christ, think about in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, not a cleaned up creation. Most of us see it as a cleaned up creation. Most of us think about Christianity as now my slate is clean. That slate is gone. It's been buried. You don't have that slate anymore. You're completely new. You got a new slate. This is good news.
Hallelujah.
Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Or have you forgotten that all of us who were immersed into union with Jesus, the Anointed One, were immersed into union with His death? I'll read it here as well. It says in the King James, know ye not that so many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? And so this isn't talking about baptism in water. It's talking about the baptism into Christ when you became a Christian and now you were put into Christ. Okay, and it's saying that, have you forgotten that all of us who were immersed into union with Jesus, when you became a Christian, you became one with Jesus. You became one with Him. Now you're identifying that oneness on the cross and in the resurrection and in your life. Okay, all of us who were immersed into union with Jesus, the Anointed One, were immersed into union with His death. Okay, so when He died, I died. When He rose from the dead, I rose from the dead. His victory is my victory. As Christians, we need to get this. We often think that the Christian life is about fighting sin. We often think that the Christian life is about fighting Satan or something like this. It's about learning to live in victory and learning to be a better person. It's not. Christian life is about relationship with God. The Christian life is about identifying with what Jesus did for you. So His death was your death. His resurrection was your resurrection. His victory was your victory. Why? Because he did it for you anyway. And now that you're in Christ, all that he accomplished, all that he won is yours. It's not something you're trying to attain to. It's not something that you're trying to get. When we accept this, when we realize it, we break through into a whole new realm of freedom, true freedom. Okay? Look at Romans chapter 6, 6 to 8. So just a few verses down. Could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever deprived of its power? You know, your former identity, what's that talking about? It's talking about Adam. Okay, so, you know, Adam, it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned, much more. And then it starts to talk about Jesus and what he's done for us, the abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness. We reign through life through one, Jesus Christ. Okay, so through Adam's offense, through what Adam did, we suffer. Through what Jesus did for us, we can reign and have victory. It's not because you got there. It's not because you did it in your good self-discipline or anything. You know, on your worst day, you're as victorious as you are on your best day. It might, the fruit might not look like it, but you're fighting from a place of victory, not fighting to try and accomplish victory. And when we start to realize how victorious we are because of what Jesus has done for us, we'll start to experience the fruitfulness of that. A lot of people are trying to get victory over the, you know, sin. Victory over, let's just stop at sin. The sinful nature was nailed to the cross. You don't have a sinful nature. Amen. Now, by your own testimony and experience, maybe it seems like you do have one. But that's not the sinful nature. That's your programming that needs to be rewired. Okay, and we're going to be talking about this over the next couple of weeks in our Nearly Too Good to Be True series. But Romans chapter 6, verse 6 to 8, from the Passion, it says, could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever deprived of its power? So that sinful nature has no power over you. It feels like it does sometimes, doesn't it? But that's just because you didn't know that it was dead. It was lying to you. It's that black dog, white dog scenario again. Where, you know, I grew up believing that there's a black dog inside of you and a white dog inside of you. It's the sinful nature and it's the righteous nature. And, you know, which dog is going to win the dog fight? The one that you feed the most. So if you feed the spirit, it's going to win. It's going to get strong. Do you know that your spirit can't get any stronger than it already is? You can't become any more holy than you already are. The Christian life isn't about becoming, it's about discovering who you already are. The moment you said yes to Jesus, that's the moment that you were placed on the cross. You, all of a sudden, instantly, you're identified in his resurrection and his death, and now you're completely new. You're as holy as you are today as you were when you said yes to Jesus, even if you messed up this morning. Okay, so let's carry on in that verse, otherwise we're not going to finish it. For we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us, so that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. Obviously, a dead person is incapable of sinning. And if we were co-crucified with the Anointed One, we know that we will also share in the fullness of his life. So we're completely free from sin because the sinful nature was nailed to the cross. Now, you can act like a sinner if you want, but your identity is righteous. Your identity is righteousness. Righteousness, we spoke about it last Sunday, isn't in a doing. It's in being. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So that's saying that the moment you say yes to Jesus is the moment that you're made 100% right with God and you are continuously right with God. It doesn't fluctuate. That's good news, because if it was according to your performance, you'd be in and out of the throne room, in and out of the presence of God. You know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross and he said, "It is finished," that moment there was an earthquake. The scripture says that there was an earthquake and that the temple curtain was torn in two. The temple court, I looked it up this morning and I'll probably get some of the figures wrong, but it was like 30 meters high. None of us would be able to actually tear that apart. Not 30 meters high, 30 foot high. It was about, it was 5 meters thick. Sources say that they had to try and tear it apart. You'd have to have two sets of horses pulling it from either side to rip it apart. And what is the purpose of that curtain? To separate the presence of God from the people. And in Jesus' death, what did he do? He said, no more separation. Separation is completely done with. There's no more separation between God and man. Why was there separation? Because of sin. But Jesus said, hey, I'm going to deal with sin so that there is no more separation. And so he dealt with separation by dealing with sin. Sin was paid for on the cross. Sin was nailed to the cross. Sinful nature was dealt with. Now you're no longer a sinner. You're 100% right with God, which means, you know, because of that, because there's no separation, you can have an intimate, beautiful, intimate, perfect relationship with God. You're never separate from Him. Now, I've heard series taught on every time you sin, you get out of relationship with God and you need to repent to get back into relationship with God, etc., etc. But you know what? Those are taught because people don't understand what happened in the gospel. They don't understand the good news that, hey, now we're united with Him. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with Him. We've already looked at a couple of verses which are talking about our union with Him now. If we are united with Christ, if we're one with Him, then we're one with Him. You know that you can't be made two anymore. You are made one, perfectly one. There is no separation between you and God right now. Any separation that you're experiencing is in your mind. That's why Romans chapter 12 verse 2, we are transformed, we experience transformation by the renewing of our minds. We've got to change our way of thinking. Stop thinking according to performance. Stop thinking according to the law and start thinking according to grace. Start thinking according to God's goodness and what He's done for us, not according to what we do for Him. And as we change our way of thinking and start moving away from performance, we start to experience the goodness of God more. We are one with Him. You can't separate the two. You know, a lot of Christians are trying to get closer to God. You can't get any closer than you already are. If you want to experience more intimacy with God, what do? You discover what He's done for you. You discover what happened to you at the cross. You discover that hey, now the moment I said yes to Jesus, I became a new creation, became one with Him, became filled with His presence, filled with His power, filled with His goodness. And it never stops flowing towards me. You know, when you discover that, it'll turn every light switch on that's in you. It's going to flip your switch completely when you realize how full of God you are. You're not trying to get more full of God. But I don't always feel the presence of God. Obviously. We don't go by feelings, we go by faith. Amen? Amen? The more you perceive what He's done for you, the more you can become aware of what the Word says, the more you will experience it. Okay? Amen. Let's look at, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. When He died, we died. So that's why it says, I am crucified with Christ. Many scriptures say this. Okay? The Passion Translation says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. Your old identity, your sinful nature, your sinfulness is completely dead. The more dead you realize, the more you realize how dead you are, the more alive you're going to become. For the nails of his cross crucified me with Him. Now, why is this important? That we see ourselves as when He hung there, I hung there. In a sense of, you know, His punishment was for me. Because a lot of the time, people tend to identify with one of the other guys on the crosses next to Jesus. I was like the thief on the side of Jesus. You know, and we don't see ourselves as one in Christ. We see ourselves as the guy next to who's kind of asking for help or forgiveness or, you know, whatever. You're closer to Jesus than that. You're much closer to Jesus than that. The moment you said yes to him, you became completely one with him. His victory was your victory. Okay? So my old identity has been crucified with Messiah and no longer lives, for the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the anointed one lives in his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. I love the way it just portrays the life flowing in me because of who's living in me. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. You are completely one with Christ, and the key to living in that victory and then the abundant Christ life is to just surrender to Christ in you. By recognizing what he's done for you, recognizing who's in you. John 1 John 4:4 says that the greater one lives in you. That's Jesus. If the greater one lives in you, then nothing's too difficult for you. Then sin isn't a problem. It's not a problem for Jesus, is it? Sin isn't a problem for Jesus, so it shouldn't be a problem for you. Sickness isn't a problem for Jesus. It shouldn't be a problem for you. Defeat isn't in his vocabulary, so it's not even worth talking about that one. You're more than a conqueror. 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17. All that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. You know, that's just saying that, you know, the reason why you can be seen as one with, or seen as, the reason why everything that's true of Jesus is true of you right now is because you're completely one with him. Obviously not in your physical body, we can see that. Obviously not in your emotions all the time, we can feel that. You know, but with regard to your spirit, you're perfectly one with him. And the spirit is the driving force of your life. You just need to decide, you know, how much of it you're going to allow in your life. The fruit of the spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You're full of that. When you died on the cross, when you were nailed to the cross, when you identified with Jesus and became dead to the flesh, to the sinful nature, you got filled with the fruit of the Spirit. That's talking about the resurrection life. You're not trying to be peaceful. You're not trying to be loving. You're not trying to have a bit of self-control. You can do that all in the flesh, and it's going to fluctuate, right? Yeah. Amen? You've seen the person next to you, how they live, they fluctuate. The more we start to recognize and identify with Jesus and what he's done for us, the more we start to live in victory. Amen? So what was nailed to the cross? Well, you know, the sinful nature, sin, every accusation against you. That's why the Bible says there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Because what was against you is now gone. What was against you is now gone. A lot of Christians are living their lives under this pressure that I'm going to have to give an answer for the things I've done wrong. And you know why we feel that and why we believe that? It's because we don't identify with the cross. We don't identify with Jesus and what he's done for us. Okay, turn with me to John chapter 12, and let's look a bit more at what was nailed to the cross. You know, if we see ourselves as on the cross with Christ, then you're already in victory. You can't offend a dead man. You know, if you're dead to the world, to the law, to sin, you can't get any more victorious than that. If you're alive in Christ and his power is alive in you, then I mean, how more victorious do you want to be? John chapter 12, Verse 27, Jesus speaking, and it says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then there came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The people, therefore, that stood by heard it and said that it thundered, and others said an angel spoke. So I like to point this out in this verse here that, you know, there were people standing by Jesus and Jesus was praying, and an audible voice came and said what? Anyone remember? "This is my beloved son." Okay? And what does he say there? He says, this voice came for, not because of me, but for your sakes. Okay? And you know what God is, what's happening here is that often we think that if someone experiences something supernatural, then they'll believe. But what does this say? It says that some people said an angel spoke, some people said it was thunder. And so, you know, faith comes by hearing the word, not by hearing a voice. Okay? Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Okay? So now if we're looking at this, this is talking about his death. It's talking about his crucifixion. It's talking about when he was put on the cross. And Jesus is saying, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. If I'm lifted up from the earth, correctly translated, that is, he will draw all judgment unto him. The word "men" is in italics in the King James, which means it's added there to make grammatical sense. The subject of the scripture here is judgment. And so what Jesus is saying to us is that when he was on the cross, all judgment was drawn unto him. Your judgment for sin, for your wrongdoing, was placed on Jesus on the cross, and now you are completely free. That's why there's no condemnation, because the judgment has been dealt with. You've been judged. You've been judged. Christ was judged. You were judged. Christ died. You died. Yeah, you can even look at it, you can take it to the suffering. He suffered so that you don't have to. You've already technically suffered if you identified in Christ. Isn't this good news? That everything Jesus did, he did for me, and I've already gone through it. I've received the benefit of that. Yeah, he sweated in blood so that you don't have to even work up a sweat in trying to please God, in trying to do his will. Because now you're in Christ. You're perfect. Colossians says, talks about how perfect you are in Christ. You're perfect in him. How perfect? Perfectly perfect. And when we realize how acceptable we are to God, how loved we are by God, it causes something in us to want to love God more, to want to know him more, and to want to do pleasing things for him. We already please him, but it makes us want to do pleasing things for him, to do what's right. Amen. Now, Father, I want to thank you that in you we've died. Died to sin, and nailed on the cross was our every accusation that could be leveled against us. We want to thank you, Father, that we have complete freedom. Complete victory because of what Jesus has done for us. We're not pressing into victory. We're living in victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your amazing grace that it's not about what we do, but it's completely about what you have done for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He canceled out every legal violation we had on record, and that old arrest warrant that stood against us. He erased it all. Our sins, our stained soul, he deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Thank you, Father. That means we're completely innocent. The gospel declares our innocence before you, our innocence in you. Because now there cannot be any condemnation for us because we're completely innocent. We just thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you, Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you, Father, that when we believe on what you've done for us, we experience the benefits of it. We experience salvation. We experience relationship with you. When we believe, we experience the power of God in our lives to unlock salvation in every area, wholeness in every area of our lives. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here and you're saying, I've never received Jesus, I've never made a decision to become a Christian, then I just want to give you an opportunity to do so. You know, making a decision to become a Christian is really just about receiving the free gift of innocence, receiving the free gift of being made right with God by what Jesus has done for you, not what you do for him. It's about receiving salvation, not working for it, but simply by believing. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to become a better person before you become a Christian. You can't do it that way. It doesn't work. All you have to do is believe in Jesus and what he's done for you. Just receive it. It's a free gift for you. Bible says that, you know, we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord and we're saved. If you're here and you've never received Jesus, you've never made that decision to receive his innocence, to be made right with God, we want to give you an opportunity. If that's you, just raise your hand and I'm going to pray with you before we go on with the service. Is there anybody here? You're saying, I've never received Jesus. I've never made that decision. And we want to give you a chance. Going once. Father, I want to thank you that as we go into a time of communion, that we can celebrate your victory. We can celebrate your freedom. We can celebrate everything that you've done for us and freely offering us. Healing for our bodies. Healing for our minds. Healing for our hearts. I want to encourage you as we partake in communion, there's healing available for you. There's freedom available for you. There's refreshing available for you. We're not being morbid about Jesus' death. We're celebrating it. It was awesome. Because it accomplished so much for us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified, made holy through the body of Christ. Father, we want to thank you that through Jesus' body, we and his sacrifice, we have been made holy. We are holy because of what Jesus has done for us. We can come before you with boldness and confidence because you have made us right. In Jesus' name.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with us, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us at info@gracelife.co. If you'd like to order more resources or discover more about us, you can visit our website at www.gracelife.co or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.